Chapter 2. Be specialised. If you don't specialise, you ain't that special. Dom Hodgson. Where in the world will you find the best Irish coffee? Dublin? Cork? County Down? Wrong. It's San Francisco, of course. This story was first relayed to me by my friend Chris, the coffee baron Hamlet, who helps coffee shop owners grow their profits. And the following copy comes straight from the Buena Vista Cafe's website. The historic venture started on the night of November the 10th in 1952. Jack Cupler, then owner of the Buena Vista, challenged international travel writer Stanton Delaplane to help recreate a highly touted Irish coffee, served at Shannon Airport in Ireland. Intrigued, Stan accepted Jack's invitation, and the pair began to experiment immediately. Throughout the night, the two of them stirred and sipped judiciously and eventually acknowledged two recurring problems. The taste was not quite right, and the cream would not float. Stan's hopes sank like the cream, but Jack was undaunted. The restaurateur pursued the elusive elixir with religious fervour, even making a pilgrimage overseas to Shannon Airport. Upon Jack's return, the experimentation continued. Finally, the perfect-tasting Irish whiskey was selected. Then the problem of the bottom-bent cream was taken to San Francisco's mayor, a prominent dairy owner. It was discovered that when the cream was aged for 48 hours and frothed to a precise consistency, it would float as delicately as a swan on the surface of Jack's and Stan's special nectar. Success was theirs. With the recipe now mastered, a sparkling, clear, 6-ounce, heat-treated goblet was chosen as a suitable chalice. Soon, the fame of Buena Vista's Irish coffee spread throughout the land. Today, it's still the same delicious mixture, and it's still the same clamorous cosmopolitan Buena Vista. Have you ever read such a compelling description of a coffee shop? I'm guessing not. The owners of the Buena Vista Cafe know how powerful it is to put a great core story at the heart of your marketing. They also understand the power of finding and owning a niche. And niches don't get much more obscure than serving the best Irish coffee right in the heart of San Francisco. This is a big business too. The Buena Vista Cafe sells over 2,000 Irish coffees a day. Yowzers. That's not all, because they also sell a shitload of other coffees, teas and biscuits, as well as breakfasts, dinners and desserts. Bread and butter pudding with Irish whiskey, anyone? And they even have a gift shop where you can buy t-shirts, caps and all kinds of other useless but highly profitable merchandise. But in spite of all the other things they sell, they are known for their Irish coffee. So what does a coffee seller halfway around the world have to do with you? Well, finding and owning a niche is one of the easiest ways to stand out from your competitors and position you as an industry expert. You just need to decide what to niche down to in your business. What's your niche? Could you walk only small dogs? Big dogs? Gun dogs? Just Cocker Spaniels? How does the thought of only walking one kind of dog make you feel? Terrified, I bet. You couldn't possibly specialise like that, could you? Well, yes, you can. Niching down and specialising is one of the easiest ways to position yourself as an expert. Yes, it's scary to niche down. You think by narrowing down your market, you are cutting off lots of potential clients. And in some ways you are. But remember the Buena Vista Cafe. Even though they sell 2,000 Irish coffees every day, they still sell a lot of other things too. Niching down allows you to stand out and attract the people who will be interested in your specialised service. Here's an example. Let's imagine I am a responsible dog owner who has just acquired a little Cocker Spaniel, and I am looking for a dog walker to help me out. So I look through the Yellow Pages or Google, and despite the fact there are lots of dog walkers in my town, the choice is surprisingly easy. One business shines out like a beacon to me. I can either choose one of the regular, run-of-the-mill dog walkers who offer very similar services, which vary a little in price but not by much, or I can choose Karen's Cocker Club, where one of Karen's Cocker crew picks up all the Cocker Spaniels she walks in the Cockermobile and takes them on a breed-specific adventure where they can practice gun dog games that are perfectly suited to match a Cocker Spaniel's character. Well, if I love my Cocker, and I do love my Cocker dearly, and I care deeply about the type of care he gets, then obviously I'm going to pick the specialist operation. Not only that, but I will also be prepared to pay more for such an exclusive and bespoke service. This leads nicely onto the other main reason you should consider niching in your dog walking business. There's riches in niches. Niching down and specialising allows you to charge much more for your services, which, by their specialist nature, are more personal and exclusive. Also, catering for only one or two breeds like this makes it much easier for you to offer additional products and services that are specific to your target market, and not worry about carrying loads of stock to cater for every breed. It's way easier to stand out from the crowd when you own a niche too. While everyone else is offering great service at a fair price, you are offering specialist Cocker Spaniel adventures. And this gives you a USP that no one else has. You could even take it further and give yourself a title like the Queen of Cockers. Enough about Cockers though, there are many other options for you to ponder. For example, you could choose a specific size of dog or even a type of dog, like gun dogs or herders or maybe all dogs under knee height. Maybe your niche isn't about the type of dog, but instead the experience you offer. I did this with my own dog walking business. When everyone else was offering 15, 30, 45 and 60 minute walks, I just offered one option, a 1.5 hour adventure, and I charged a premium for it too. I aimed the service at gun dog and working dog owners, expecting just Cocker Spaniel, Labrador and Pointer owners to want the service. Well, I did get some gun dogs, but I also got pugs, Samoyeds and French Bulldogs, all because they wanted an adventure for their dogs. The adventure was the thing that sold it. Some things to consider before you niche. Obviously, when you niche down to a breed, you want to make sure there are enough dogs for you to walk. It's no good marketing yourself as king of Afghan adventures if there are only two Afghan hounds in your whole town. But it shouldn't be hard to research what the most popular breeds of dog are where you live, or if you already own a walking business, just look at your current client list and see what numbers you have of each dog. Is there a breed category in your town that you can serve with a specialised service and that you enjoy walking? Well, that could be the niche for you. So that's marketing secret number two. Be specialised. And if specialising has whet your appetite, then you will love marketing secret number three. Be the expert. Because the next chapter is all about taking you from a mere mortal dog walker to someone who is revered as the fount of all dog walking knowledge within your industry. Action point. Without a doubt, niching is almost as scary as premium pricing. But, as before, just because it's scary doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. Start researching now what you can niche down to and then proclaim yourself queen of the whatevers. With some thought, you can build all your marketing around your new niche. If it is crystal clear to your prospects about exactly what your niche is on your website, leaflets, social media and other marketing materials, then in no time at all, you will apportion a huge slice of the market all for yourself as the self-anointed expert in that niche.